Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's final chat on the From Invincible to Irresistible Tele Summit. Michelle and I have so enjoyed sharing this journey with you. We want to thank those of you who have been here from the very beginning and even those of you who have just joined us recently. Honestly, we have just really enjoyed knowing that you have been getting so much out of this Telesummit. And for those of you who are new to the Telesummit, welcome. We always like to start every one of the interviews, all of the recordings, by saying why we did this. And the reason we do that is because we set a very powerful intention when we started thinking about what we wanted the theme of the Telesummit to be and where we wanted the conversations with each of the experts to go. And this Telesummit really was created and designed specifically with you in mind. We knew that we wanted to do something special for the successful woman, the very independent, professional woman who is used to experiencing success in her life, feels probably really confident in her career, and then wonders, how can I have that same level of success or even more success in my love life? Whether you're single and you're dating, or you're in a relationship that you want to take to a new level of love and passion and intimacy. So we really wanted to make this Telesummit very, very tailored to the woman who is a success in life and wants to have success in love. And we did two things. First of all, we set that very powerful intention, and then we reached out to experts who had it all, because the full title of the Telesummit is From Invincible to Irresistible, How to Successfully Attract Love into Your Life So That You Can Have It All. So it was important to us that you would be hearing from women and a man. We interviewed John Gray, who had very successful careers, very successful businesses, and were also experiencing love, passion, intimacy, fun, and connection in their relationships. And you've also heard from some moms, so you've seen how that translates into your family life as well. And so we feel really proud of the Telesummit and could not be more grateful to all of the experts who said yes. And today we wanted to have an opportunity to invite you into a love chat with the Love Twins. Michelle and I also wanted to share with you some of our insights, some of our own ahas, not just about the Telesummit, but in our own personal lives and the things that we have learned personally and also in working with hundreds and thousands of women around the world, helping them to have it all, to have every single thing that their heart desires. So we want to start by, before we jump into our love chat, we want to tell you a little bit about ourselves, because we've been able to tell you a little bit about each of our experts. So Michelle's going to start it off, and then I'll jump in, and we just want to have this time with you. This is our personal time with you. Welcome into our living room. And and hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Oh, hello. I'm so happy to be here tonight. This has been a truly amazing experience. It's been exciting to get to know more about these experts, people that we have heard about, people that we've had an opportunity to work with, and get to know them on a deeper level and really connect with them on an issue that, as you know, we have been approached on so many times by women who seem to be successful in every area of life, being a mom, you know, being a successful business owner, being a successful executive, and then asking themselves, why is it that in this area of love and relationships, I can't translate that same level of success? So it's a dream come true for me, and I know for you, too, that we were able to put this together and have it be such a wonderful and successful event. So I wanted to just tell everybody a little bit about us, and so they can get to know us a little better. And I'm going to say that again.
Okay.
So I want to let everybody know a little bit about Heart's Desire International and what Gladys and I have dedicated our lives to. We truly believe that every woman has the birthright, right, of being in this world and having the experience not only of being loved, but to be able to love freely, to be able to love authentically, to be themselves not just in their relationship with the person that they're with, but also in the relationship with themselves. And so that's what we really have dedicated the last 8 years of our lives to. And we enjoy it so much. It's given us an opportunity, like you said, Gladys, to meet hundreds of thousands of women around the world and connect with them in person or virtually and share with them our unique approach that really helps people walk through an introspective process. You know, it's not about tips and tricks. It's one of the things that we're very proud of. It's not about tips and tricks. It's not about quick hits. It's about looking inside and doing the work that needs to be done so that any barrier that's in the way of attracting the love that a woman wants, whether she's in a relationship or not, because you know that we worked with women who are in marriages and, you know, the sizzle has fizzled and they are looking to reignite that. We've been able to work with them so that they can create that and have a life that they love, have a romantic relationship that really sets them on fire, where they feel that they're their best version of themselves, where they feel that they can experience joy. And one of the things I think that we've really accomplished is taking the suffering out of dating and relationships, because when you have the right tools to communicate, to connect, to be able to express what you want, and also to be able to receive what's given, then a lot of the suffering and the heartache of relationships disappears. And we've helped a lot of women be able to do that work. And, you know, we receive emails all the time from them saying, oh, I'm in a relationship, I just got engaged, and showing us their wedding pictures and even when their children are born. And it's just the greatest gift and the biggest honor that I can think of. And I'm so glad we get to do that together.
I know. For me, that's probably the best part, is that we get to do this work together and we get to work and play together. And, you know, this past month has been really exciting. We've gotten, I don't have the exact number of count with engagements and new relationships. And when we get those emails, you know, we laugh, we cry, we jump like two little girls, because it's so awesome. I don't think there's anything more rewarding than to have somebody who was maybe feeling like they were never going to find the relationship of their dreams actually say, remember, one of the funny things that we get is like, you were right. I thought you were full of, you know what, when you said it was possible for me, but you were right, you know. And then, you know, and also, like you said, for the woman who started wondering if the relationship had any hope and if they were going to have to get divorced or break up, and then they write and you see the picture of them looking into each other's eyes or smiling or kissing. There really is nothing more rewarding. And ladies, for those of you who are out there, that's what we want for each and every one of you. We have the little catchphrase that people quote us on all the time is, you know, to know that you know that you know that you're loved. There's nothing like that. And we believe that each and every woman can have that. And then there's challenges, right? And particularly, mm-hmm. you know, as we said, we wanted this to be very tailored to those of you who are successful, who are achievers, who are goal-driven women, success-driven women. And none of that is bad or wrong. None of that has to stop. You really can continue being as successful, as motivated, as determined to keep reaching new levels and new heights in your career. We are like that. You know, Michelle's, I don't know, she's a promotion queen. She gets promotions all the time and gets awards. You know, I've got, I don't know how many pictures I have of her. Look, I just got Employee of the Month. You know, we are like that. We love to succeed and we love to achieve and to set high standards. And it's not the only measure of success.
Right.
It's just that's one of the measures of success. And having it all is about, obviously we focus mostly on love, but you know, when we do our workshops, we talk about the spirituality, we talk about your health and well-being. It's all, it really is all, right? Having success in all of the areas. So Michelle, I wanted us to talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges, because we've been asking all of the experts similar questions, and I would love to be able to chat with you a little bit about what some of the things that we've come up with, or not come up with, come against, with some of our clients who have reached out to us and said, you know, what do I do? What do I do? So what would you say are some of the more common ones that you face with your clients?
Well, one that comes up a lot is time. You know, time is a challenge when you are an entrepreneur or you are a professional businesswoman. There are demands on your time when it comes to your career. And so it can be very easy, I think, to just say, you know, one more hour. I'll just spend one more hour doing this, or I'll just, you know, I'll work this weekend and then next weekend I'll go out and have fun. And that can be very challenging, not just, like you were saying, not just from having it all in the world of having a relationship, but also having time for yourself and making time to relax, make sure that you put in time in your life also to have fun. So I think that time is a big issue and a big challenge for women, particularly as you are climbing up the corporate ladder or growing a business. There are countless number of hours that you need to spend doing a particular task. So whether you're single, and then that takes away from your time to be able to go out there and date and socialize and mingle and even hang out with your female friends so you keep that feminine energy going, that can be a challenge. And then for the women who are in relationships or are married, it becomes a challenge because even as supportive as a partner can be, men need attention. Men need attention. They want attention. They want to give us attention. And so when the scale is leaning a lot to the side of work, then, and you're giving all your time to that, it creates less time for intimacy. It creates less time for romance and for connection. So I would say for me, that's one of the ones that I hear a lot. What about for you?
I think one of the ones that comes up a lot, definitely time. I would definitely say time. I would agree with you on that. And then it's also the fear that they're going to have to give up the independence and the ability to, you know, go where they want and do what they want and just to feel freedom. And I see the struggle because what I hear is, you know, I want to be in a relationship, but I also like being able to have time for myself. This is with the single women, and then I'll talk about women in relationships, but that is a big fear. I'm going to have to somehow give up something, and that's what we refer to in our work as the either-or paradigm. Like, oh, I'm either going to have a great relationship or have a great career, but I can't have both. And, you know, we call BS on that because you can. Maybe you're not going to be able to go out, you know, 24/7 because obviously if you're in a relationship and you're never with a person, it probably isn't going to work, like Michelle was just saying. But, yeah, you know, that you don't have to give up what you love, whether it's work or your hobbies, your girlfriends, family time. None of that is required. And I know that I know you hear this a lot too, Michelle, but the fear of losing, I'm going to lose myself in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that losing yourself, that's really past-based fear, because there was probably a relationship where you did, where you forgot to honor yourself and you forgot to honor what was true for you and, you know, turned into what we call the pretzel syndrome, where you're twisting and turning yourself to see if maybe perhaps he's going to be impressed. So I would say that the fear of losing themselves and losing their independence comes up a lot. And then in relationships, it's almost like the flip side of the coin where they're afraid that I hear some women, they don't feel supported.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're achieving and they're excelling and everybody else is applauding and they don't feel like they're getting that at home. Mm-hmm. And it could be very, very much related to what you were just saying. If the scale is constantly tipped to the side of work, it's not that he doesn't want to celebrate your successes, but he could be feeling like that's being chosen over the relationship. And I just want to say something because as I was saying it, I could almost sense the eyes rolling. It doesn't make men any more needy or weak or insecure to want your attention, then it makes us needy, weak, or insecure to want to feel loved and adored. It really doesn't. It's just a need. It's a really in-depth desire. So because he wants more time with you doesn't mean he wants you to give your career. That's you in your mind with the either-or mentality. Well, if I spend more time with him, then I can't do that. So I think that, you know, those are the two that come up. I mean, there's a lot, but two of the ones that I hear most frequently are those two. And
You just made me think of something. Mm-hmm. You just made me think of something because I've had this conversation with some of the writers, and they're like, well, you know, and it could seem like not being supported, right? Well, you know, he doesn't understand I need to spend time doing X, and he just wants me to be with him. And I ask him, well, who do you want him to be with if it's not with you? I think that's a good sign. Now, how you communicate and work through that conversation is, you know, you've got to have the skills to be able to do that. You've got to be able to express what you want and how you feel without it becoming an argument or a fight. But if he doesn't want to be with you, who is he going to want to be with? So looking at it from that perspective is you can see it as well. You know, whether we've been married 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, my husband still wants
to be with me. Or dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or dating. They want to be with me. And that's a pretty great problem to work through.
Absolutely. That's one of the challenges you want to have, kind of. And I just thought of another one. When I was talking about support, I was at a woman's conference not too long ago, and a woman came up to me. I had talked about being invincible at work and irresistible in your love life, and she said, you know, I just feel like my husband doesn't support me. And I said, just tell me what he said that made you, give me an example. And one of the things that she had said was she wanted to start working with a coach, and his response was that it was too expensive, and that she, you know, she's done all these courses and all these certifications, and you know, she kept investing money, but not necessarily making it. And I, you know, I told her, I could hear where she could sense like he wasn't being supportive, and that, yeah, go work with a coach and you know, and fulfill your dream. And I said, I told her to ask herself a question, Michelle, that, well, you've heard me ask this, that really has made such a difference for me when Rick says something that I'm like, ouch, like that was not very nice, or what the heck. Actually, for me, it comes up like, what the heck. I asked myself, what would have him say something like that? Not like I caused it, but knowing that the way that this man loves me, what would have him say something that could possibly hurt my feelings? And so I told her, I said, what might have him? I said, I want you to just put aside the upset, because she was, you know, pretty upset. I said, does he love you? She said, yes. I said, do you feel safe with him? Yes. Except for that moment, is he generally supportive? Yeah, and everything except my business. I said, great. So what would have you, what would have him, excuse me, say that? And she got very quiet. And she, at first she said she didn't know, and so she was kind of stuck. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Is he very protective of you? The moment that I said that, she got it. She goes, yes. I said, yeah. So you're investing, and I said, have you shared with him, like, your sadness when you're not making money or when you don't make the sale? Do you cry? She's like, yes, all the time. I was like, so what would have him say that? She's like, he's trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to see her heartbroken again. Right? And that was like, and I had actually had that experience with Rick, so I was so glad I was able to share my story with her of a time that he was like yelling at me. I'm like, what the heck? And I asked myself that question. I went upstairs to pout, and after I finished pouting, I asked that question. And I said, it was, you know, it was a deal that had kind of gone sideways, and I was explaining it to him, and I felt like he wasn't letting me talk, and he was upset that I was being taken advantage of. And that brought out his protectiveness. So, ladies, sometimes, you know, these are the things that we work on with our clients, because sometimes just shutting down the upset doesn't mean we're telling you not to be upset. We do want you to genuinely feel your feelings, but we also don't want you to be led by them and to choose through your feelings, because if he's being protective, he's just maybe not showing it in the way that you would hope, you know, that you had anticipated. And so that, you know, that question for me has been a lifesaver, because I know that he loves me. And sometimes he's just, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever. But generally, if I can go there, I can tap into compassion, which has me diffuse my own anger so that I can actually hear what's being said, and we now can be having the same conversation instead of these two different conversations.
Yeah, it's really great. Really great.
So so one of the questions that we asked the experts after, you know, was what are some steps? And you're masterful at, you know, at, like you said, we're not tips and tricks and bells and whistles. It's really practical, real life stuff that that women can do. So what are some of the things that you would recommend for professional women to do to work through some of the challenges that we've discussed together?
Well, you know, a lot of what we've talked about and a lot of what we hear when we do our programs and we do our coaching is fear. So behind a lot of what doesn't work, either in attracting a relationship or keeping a relationship or keeping it alive, is fears. Fears start to add up. Resentment starts to add up. People begin to doubt themselves. So really being able to identify, you know, what the fear is by asking yourself, what would have me react this way? So let me say a little bit more about that. So when you have a strong reaction to something, like I'll use an example of a situation that I've had one of my clients share with me. So, you know, why are men intimidated by successful women, right? That's one thing. When women say that, there's a fear behind that. And the fear, usually for some of them, I mean, everybody's different, is the fear that they will have to give up their career or downplay something or dumbplay something because they're going to scare men away, because that's their experience. Their experience is that men go away. And when you can identify the fear, so my fear is that this person's going to go away, well, why is that scary? Well, I don't want to be abandoned. And you get down to that core fear by asking yourself questions like, why is that scary to me? Or why am I afraid of that? Or what's causing me to react this way? Then you can look at the fear as something at the core. And then you can ask yourself, well, is that happening right now? And if that's not happening right now, then you can take responsibility for that. That's a fear, like you said before, that's something that happened in the past, that I'm allowing it to impact me now, and then doing the introspective work, which is a lot of the coaching that we do, to figure out, well, what were some of those behaviors that could have led to that relationship ending, that could have led to that situation happening, that led to, you know, you feeling like you were being taken advantage of, whatever that is, and asking those kinds of questions to yourself so that you can be honest and true with yourself, because that's the first place we have to start at all times, and then taking responsibility for whatever that was, and then acknowledging that just because that happened in the past, or just because there's a past-based fear there, it doesn't mean that that's the way it's always going to have to be. And then creating new skills that are going to help you to be able to move past that in the future, such as, so when that comes up for me again, what will I tell myself? What will I remind myself in that moment, which takes what you and I call that conscious awareness, which we're usually not operating in. We're usually operating on automatic, particularly those of us who are very busy and have a lot going on. It seems like, oh, my God, I got through that meeting. And you don't even realize everything that happened in the meeting because you were just so on automatic. It's the same kind of thing. So bringing real awareness to what's happening, what you're feeling. And I love what you said, you know, let yourself feel it. There's nothing wrong with feeling it. Nothing's going to happen because you feel it. You'll actually be able to see what's on the other side of it if you allow yourself to feel it.
Absolutely. So let me, sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but I wanted to ask you, because since that's one that's so common, so let's say that I'm your client and I say, well, I'm afraid that, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to have to give up my career.
Okay.
And then you ask me the question.
So what makes you afraid of that? What scares you about that?
Well, you know, I've dated guys and, you know, I have long hours. Or me, when I met Rick, I travel a lot. And a lot of guys are, you know, they feel intimidated because, you know, of the hours and the amount of time I have to spend at work.
Okay. So they're feeling intimidated about that. So then what scares you about them being intimidated about that?
That they're going to get tired of it.
And what will happen then if they get tired of it?
They'll leave.
Okay. And what scares you about that?
I don't want to be alone.
So you don't want to be alone. All right. So now are you alone right now?
Well, me in my life, I'm not. But let's say that if I was single, I would say, well, yeah, I'm alone right now. I'm not in a relationship.
Okay. So you're not in a relationship and you want to be in a relationship?
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been alone now?
I'm trying to think, like 2 months.
Okay, 2 months. So because you're alone right now, does that mean that you're going to be alone forever?
I hope not, no.
Okay. So is that the real fear, that you're going to be alone forever?
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there, I would work with them about, you know, because I don't want to have the whole call go into that, but that whole fear about being forever, being abandoned, being taken advantage of, not being able to see the cues, because whatever the fear is, working through the fear to get to the core fear, and for some people, there are many layers. You know, you might get to a fear in one conversation, and then in the next coaching conversation, there's another fear underneath that. Mm-hmm. But teaching people how to do those kind of exercises on their own so they start to identify the fear as it's an imagined fear. It's not happening right now. What is this based on? What does it remind me of? What am I really afraid of? So I would say that that's one of the best tools that I could give someone, is being able to ask those kinds of questions of yourself. And it takes practice, because we don't usually go around asking ourselves, why am I afraid of that? But eventually, you will, and as long as you don't say it out loud in a public place, you should be fine.
People will think you're crazy. No, I want, and thank you for walking me through that, because I think that, you know, it makes it more concrete, and I think that, you know, everybody had, like you said, everybody has their own version of that fear and other fears, and what we do, and you're right, we do at first it takes a lot of that conscious stopping and asking yourself the questions. Eventually you get to the point where you're able to ask yourself, and what scares me about that and that and that? Is that really happening right now? What can I tell myself instead? It's almost like within a minute, you're actually able to identify the fear and then what we call dismantle it. So you distinguish it and then you dismantle it, and then you empower yourself to move past it. Because whenever we're not moving past the fear, we're staying stuck in it. And that's where, you know, you get the paralysis and the hopelessness, because when you're not moving forward, you're just standing still. It's very difficult to feel inspired when you're not going anywhere. So thanks for sharing that, for demonstrating it, because I think that it's such a powerful exercise when we do it, whether we do it in a group or with an individual, and people always have such incredible breakthroughs in that exercise.
Absolutely. Yep. So what would you say is one of the practical skills that you most recommend to women who are experiencing the situation where they feel like they can't have it all? They feel they're going to have to choose between having an amazing career or having an amazing relationship.
Well, I think that one of the challenges is thinking that you have to do it all on your own. You know, when you've been independent and whatever, life has dealt you cards where you kind of had to learn how to take care of yourself and had to count on yourself, you know, whether it was a divorce or when you were young, something happened. You know, for us, we, at a very young age, found ourselves having to move out of our home. You know, we were going to be homeless. And you begin to feel like you've got to face everything on your own. You've got to take care of yourself. So I think that one of the things that stops women, whether they're dating or in a relationship, is realizing that you're not in this alone anymore. You don't have to do everything alone. And for me, one of the biggest challenges that I had was, and it came to the surface most clearly when I became a mom, was that I don't ask for help. Now that was what came up. Now I'm much, much, much better at asking for help. But there was something that I made that mean, like I was incapable, not good enough, not smart enough. Why should I have to ask for help? And there was all this false sense of independence. Like I had to do it all. And what I've learned and what I teach women is, you know, you still get to be super independent. You get to be confident. You get to be accomplished. You get to be capable. And you don't have to be alone when you're in a relationship, and you can ask for help. And even if you're not in a relationship, every day you can ask your friends for help. You can ask people at work for help. You can accept offers, because people are probably offering to help you all the time. And, no, I've got this. No, I'm okay. No, I'm good. And that was me. And on top of that, then I was complaining, not so secretly, to my husband that I don't have any help, and I'm, you know, doing everything myself and feeling completely overwhelmed all of the time. But it was self-inflicted, because I have somebody here who is a partner. When I see the relationship that Rick and I have now and the way that he helps me with our kids and the way he supports me in this business, I sometimes really, like, think back to how I used to feel so alone. I'm like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? And I'll still fall into, I've got to do it myself. The other day, I was working on something on the web page, and literally 45 minutes later, I'm like, I can't stand this. You know, he's in the office next door, and he's like, what is it? He did it in 5 minutes. I swear, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? You know, some things I want to learn, and I want to know how to do it myself. That was not an important task for me. I was just trying to figure it out, and I didn't think to ask him either, you know, can you help me or can you show me? So I think that one of the things, you know, practical tips is allow people to help you. It came out a lot in the interviews that we did with the different experts. I think that was a resounding theme, is to be receptive, to allow men particularly to contribute. You know, when we say that men like to, you know, the three P's we call them, you know, that are most important to men: to provide, to protect, and to please. That's their game. That's the game they're playing. And if they feel like they're losing in any one of those games, at any one of those games, it impacts them, and it impacts the way they are in the relationship, because it's very difficult to feel like you're not able to please somebody. It's never good enough, or it's not good at all. It gets criticized or corrected. And then, you know, for those of us who are successful, maybe your level of success includes financial success, where you have, you know, prosperity, and we use the word provide, and women will say, I don't need a man to provide for me.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just talking about that. Even if he made less money, my husband for years made less money than me, but I never made him feel like he wasn't providing, contributing, adding to my joy, to my life, and to my finances, you know. So I would say, be more receptive, for sure. That's, to me, the number one thing. And it's okay to ask for help and to let somebody be there for you, especially if they want to, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes that independence covers up the, you know, going back to the fears, covers up the fear of what if I end up alone again, or what if I allow this person to give to me, and I get so used to that because I've been so used to doing things on my own, and maybe that's the way it was when they were young, or maybe it's the way it was when, you know, after their last relationship, or even in their last relationship. And then that fear of having to go without what's coming at you with this abundance of generosity and protection and all those things that we want to feel. Sometimes the fear of not having that at some point in the future, which again is imagined because it's not happening, has a lot of women go without so that they never have to experience not having it.
Yeah.
And then that's another really important thing to be aware of. You know, I'm so grateful that my husband reminds me, you know, Arnie reminds me all the time, if you need help, just ask. You know, some of us think, oh, you should have to ask, you should know. Well, you know, I'm not going to go there because I need the help. So, if I want to have a life where I have it all, I need to let people help me.
Mm-hmm.
because I want to have it all. I don't necessarily want to do it all.
I love that. I'm going to have to tweet that. I love that. That is so great. Yeah, I want to have it all. I don't necessarily want to have to do it all. And I think we get caught up, you know, with the, one of the other things we've been talking about in the Telesummit is that masculine, being in the masculine energy versus the feminine. And the doing energy is very masculine. Accomplishing,
yeah,
getting something done.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah. It's that doingness, you know, doing energy. And feeling like you have to do it and it's got to come through you and you've got to have, everything has to have your seal of approval. You know, at work, there are some things. When you're the person in charge, if you're the CEO or the director or the manager or the VP, the buck does stop with you eventually. And so, yeah, you want to have an idea of what's going on. But when you come into your relationship and every single thing has to have your seal of approval, has to be run through you, and you have to be on top of everything. So you're, you know, going from being the CEO at work to being a CEO at home. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to always be the one in charge, to always be the one handling everything. And so, you know, that impacts your well-being. It impacts your ability to just relax, to just wind down and just be. You know, that's one of the things we talk about a lot in our work is the being. So I think that's, you know, that's a big one too. That really is a big one. And so it's not that you're not going to do anything and you're going to be like, you know, incapable of moving a paper. But like Michelle said, I love that, you know, having it all doesn't necessarily mean doing it all. And if you're going to be in a partnership, and that's a word that comes up a lot when we ask women, what do you want to experience? You know, I want a partner. Then having a partner involves being a partner. And that means allowing somebody else to have an opinion, to do, to take care of you. And I think all of that kind of goes hand in hand with the receptivity and not having to be the one constantly giving and taking care of everybody else, you know, whether you have children or not. Because some people who don't have children, then it becomes about taking care of other people, family, friends, being the one that's always responsible for everybody.
Yeah, so Gladys, that's a really good point, you know, that whole masculine energy that we use at work and then really being able to transition from that invincible woman to the irresistible woman when you come into your life, your love life, whether you're single, dating, or a girlfriend or in a relationship. So what's one thing that you can share with our listeners that you do to help you in that transition?
Well, my transition, I always joke, right, because my transition is two steps outside my door because I have a home office, so I don't have a commute that I can use to kind of wind down. And I will tell, I'm going to be completely vulnerable and honest, it's something I still have to master because I will get caught up in the, you know, I can just go upstairs and finish that one thing and that way I don't have to work on it tomorrow. So what helps is disconnecting. If I have my phone, I'm probably going to be checking email. And so what I've been doing, and I actually took it on when I started the Telesummit, is leaving the phone in the kitchen when I'm in the living room and then just being with my family. And sometimes when you're working on a – or when I'm working on a big project, I have to be okay with the next 30 minutes or the next hour it's okay to not be working on that thing. So I have to do that conscious awareness that you were talking about. But yeah, I think being present, you know, the other day I have two boys. Michelle knows this. I'm talking to the rest of you. They're her nephews. But I have two boys. One's 11 and one's 8. So they're not babies anymore. And one of the things that I always did when they were little was I would invite them to snuggle with me. Right, and so just get in a little ball and share a blanket. And the other day, my 11-year-old, who's taller than me, you know, he's 5 foot something, said, I was at my computer working on one more thing, and he said, "Hey, Mama, do you want to snuggle?" And I'm not gonna lie, my instinctual response was gonna be I can't right now. I'm working on something, and I said I can't, and then I said, "Did you take a shower?" And he said, no. I said, take a shower and then we're going to snuggle. So I put my stuff aside when he got out of the shower. And because I'm like, how many more years do I have for him to say, hey, mama, you want to snuggle? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how much longer, you know, that's going to happen. And I remember when I laid down next to him, I just kept saying, you know, I took some deep breaths so I could get present and just kept telling myself, just enjoy this moment. And so that's with my son. And with my husband, I have to do the same thing. And he's so respectful and so supportive that he won't say, hey, you've been working. But he might come across and say, you know, have you eaten? Are you going to watch, you know, whatever, one of our favorite shows, Games of Thrones or whatever? And those are the little reminders. And I do have to be okay with stepping away and saying, you know, for this next hour, this next however much time, I'm just going to be with my husband and snuggle with him and be next to him and laugh and kiss and smooch and whatever the things that we do that makes us. And very similar thing, I'll wrap up really quickly, but the other day, again, I was in my office working on a project, and I hear a yell from the other room, hey, babe, come dance with me. And again, my instinct was going to be like, I'm in the middle of, and then I said, what? And he goes, come dance with me. So I went into our bedroom where he was working out, and we just danced for a little while. It wasn't like a two-hour
awesome.
Thing, but... Yeah, but it was so much fun, and I gave him a kiss, and I said, thank you, I so needed this, you know. And so, yeah, so those are the things that I do. I really try to do it. Can I be better at it? Absolutely. And, you know, this work, you know, the work that we do is not about perfection. Perfection is poison. It's a recipe for disaster. But it is about being conscious and saying, you know what, if I slipped and I didn't do it today, then what can I promise myself tomorrow? And what can I apologize for if I broke my word?
Yeah. Very good point. Yeah, I think that, you know, I go through the same thing. My situation is not the same as yours, Gladys, because you work at home. You know, I have a work. You do this full time. I have another job outside of what we do with Heart's Desire. And, you know, my situation is unique in that Arnie and I don't only live together, we work together. So, you know, we wake up in the morning together, we drive to work together, sometimes we take separate cars, but sometimes we do drive to work together, and then we work in the same department, and then we come home to the same house. There's a lot of together, and I get asked this all the time, so how do you make that work? How do you make it work? And what I have been practicing as well, which I don't think I've mastered either, is being able to create that time where work ends, because since we work and live together, we could talk about work all day, especially since we love what we do. It could be talking about it all day, and what are we going to do tomorrow, what are we going to create, and how are we going to make a difference? So being able to, at some point, and we've started saying this to each other, so this is the last thing we're going to say for the rest of the night about work, and then it's just going to be about us. That's one thing. And then the other day I was at work and I was like, oh, man, this is the night I usually work late. I've got another hour and a half. I can go ahead and finish what I'm doing. And he calls me and goes, hey, you want to go for a walk? And my first thing was like, nair. But instead I said, you know, I'd love to go for a walk. Because I was like, wow, how awesome. All this togetherness and still he wants more time with me, and I want more time with him. And that is something that I treasure. I will work really hard at never taking advantage of that, because it's such a blessing. And, you know, and sometimes we go for a walk after work, or we'll go to the gym. We don't necessarily work out together because we do different things. We go to the same gym at the same time, or we'll go for a run, and he's usually way faster than I am, but it's still together. And I really just, I don't even know, treasure is the only word that comes to say, wow, I treasure that we genuinely like each other so much and love each other so much that spending that time together doesn't occur like a burden or something else to do. It's just what we really want to do. And I think that everyone can have that. Maybe you don't work with your husband or your boyfriend, but creating those moments, those little intimate moments, are so important. And for the singles, doing things for yourself, and doing things by yourself, and then doing things with your friends as well. making the time, not allowing work to take over every free moment of your day, because then that's when relationships fall apart, that's where friendships can go stale, and that's where you can become a workaholic very easily. And yes, you're going to get the accolades and you'll get that corner office, and who are you going to share that with? Who's going to share that special moment when you find out you got that? You want to make sure that you surround yourself with people who are going to be able to celebrate with you and also support you in those times where you do feel like you're alone and you do feel like you need help. It's really important for us to have a strong support system around us, whether we're single, in a relationship, or married.
And then we also, you said something that I don't want to step over, is that you're doing stuff for yourself, and that doesn't stop when you're in a relationship. Like, your life doesn't stop. And I think that goes back to the feeling, the fear, right, of having to give up time, because you wanna be in a space, if you're single, where you are already enjoying your life, where you're already happy, where you're already content. And yes, you do desire, and don't deny yourself that desire to want to share your life. You don't need a man, but if you want a man, you also want to take the steps for creating space in your life. And so you keep doing the things that you enjoy doing, and you invite him to be part of it. So you begin to share your life. So you don't have to stop your life. You don't stop going to the gym. You don't stop seeing your girlfriends. You don't, you know, it's very tempting at the beginning, especially at the beginning of a relationship, to want to spend every single moment with the person. But you want to keep doing the things that make you you, that please you, that make you happy. And so that way it continues. Right, that continues to be part of your life, and what you're doing is you're attracting somebody into your life who wants to share those things with you, because that really is what being in a relationship is. It really is sharing those moments, and like you said, those you know, we call them in our work the ordinary, extraordinary moments. It doesn't have to be like, you know, something out of this world is happening. It could be a dance in the bedroom. It could be a hug in the middle of the hallway. It could be any of the little things. So you want your life to be an invitation, right? So that's where, you know, telling them to do things for themselves, and then also, yeah, surround yourself with people who fill you up and don't drain you, okay? Because if you're down and then you're with a downer, it's not a good place to be. So really surround yourself with people who encourage you, and whether you're single or you're in a relationship, surround yourself with other women who are in good relationships, not perfect relationships, but good relationships, people who are going to stand for you to have a better relationship and help and encourage you to be in a good relationship, because that makes a difference. The people that you surround yourself with makes such a huge difference, especially if you trust them and you take their counsel.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm looking at the time. It's so funny, right? I said that in almost every single one of the interviews, and I'm looking at the time now. I'm like, it does go by super fast. So one of the things I wanted to do, Michelle, I wanted to tell them a little bit about our free gift that we're offering.
Okay.
So the free gift that we're offering everyone is the 30 Days and 30 Ways to Fall in Love with You ebook. And that ebook is talking about surrounding yourself with people who you love and admire and are going to support you. That book was a compilation book. It was created between us and more than 20 other women and one man. You see a pattern? It's always one man. But there were 30 experts in all different areas, not just love. We've got business coaches. We've got healers, we've got transformational coaches, we had interior designers, feng shui, but like there was all these different types of experts, people who we had seen their work, read their work, and it made an impact on us, and we invited them to give us one way that a woman could fall in love with herself each day. And so that book is, we call it a 30-day journey to discovering self-love, because it really is, you're supposed to read one of the stories, or we invite you, you're not supposed to do anything, but we invite you to read one of the stories or entries every single day, and there will either be a meditation, a personal story, an exercise that you can do, and that you use that as a step towards falling more in love with yourself. So it doesn't matter if you're single or in a relationship, the very first loving relationship and the one that is going to last until your last breath that you'll have is the relationship you have with yourself. So this book is really beautiful, and they're short entries, and then there's usually something to think about at the end, and there's a daily affirmation, something you can tell yourself throughout that day. And I always invite people who get the book, who buy the book, to record that daily affirmation and put a reminder in your phone a couple times during the day to play it back to yourself so you can hear yourself saying that. If you're not in a place at work that you can do that, you can always have it pop up as the reminder. And it's just a really, I'm just very proud of that project. It came together so beautifully, and so grateful for all of the people who contributed to it. So, and some of the experts, actually, that you've listened to, Luli B is the first one that comes to my mind. She was one of the contributors to the book. So that's our free gift to you. And our invitation is that you have a beautiful and extraordinary relationship with yourself, and just continue to fall in love with yourself, because that's how you attract more love into your life. The more you love yourself, the more love you invite into your life.
Yep, it's a direct correlation.
All right, Michelle, so do you have any final words of inspiration? If you had one more thing, that was one of my favorite questions to ask in the telesaw. If you had one more thing that you could share, that you would like to leave our listeners with, what would you like to say?
I would like to invite our listeners to be loving, gentle, and compassionate with themselves always, to recognize that they are worthy of love, of happiness, of success, of abundance, of everything that their hearts desire. And that if there's anything ever that's in the way of that, that they do the work and work with someone that will help them get to a place where they can experience that, because it is a really, like we like to say, amazing life. When you can love yourself, be generous to yourself, compassion, forgive yourself, and know that you're lovable and you're able to give and receive love, and that you deserve it. You're worth it and deserve it. No matter what's happened in the past or how many mistakes you've made in the past, and there is work that can be done to let all that go so that you can attract, receive, and enjoy the love that you truly desire and deserve.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you. And I, you know, Michelle knows me very, very well. We've known each other since the womb, because, yes, the question we always get asked is, are you really twins? Yes, we are. And she knows that I hate goodbyes. I absolutely hate goodbyes. So I'm happy that the telesummit has been such a success, and I'm sad that we won't be connecting every single day, but we can. You guys have my email address. You can connect with us. There'll be links in the emails that you'll be getting. We don't send you emails every day after the telesummit, but you will get, you know, one to two every week, sometimes more if we're in the middle of a something special that we want to invite you to and want to make sure that you see it. So, yeah, you know, I am happy that we were able to share this journey together, and I'm sad that it's coming to an end, but I just want you to know that, like Michelle said, you know, we're twins, so of course she said what I was going to say, but you really are lovable. You are capable of loving and being loved in extraordinary, extraordinary ways. And we just want you to know that, or I just want you to know, that who you are is beautiful, perfect. Inside of your imperfections, you're absolutely perfect. And who you are is enough. You don't have to become anything else, and you can become more extraordinary if you want to be. And we're here to support you. We really, truly are. We want to hear from you. I would love, you know, I love getting your emails. We'd love to hear what your biggest aha moment has been, what that moment that you really got something for yourself in one of the interviews, what you're doing differently. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are, you know, attracting new love into your life or reigniting the love that you have with your significant other. Let us know. We want to connect with you. We want to hear from you. We answer every single email that we get personally. So, you know, reach out to us. And you can just reply to the email that you received this morning with this interview. But just know that there's an extraordinary amount of love out there. There's an abundance of love out there. And so much of it is yours. So claim it and receive it. Okay? And we're Goddess Diaz and Michelle Rosa of Hearts Desire International. Thank you so much for being part of the From Invincible to Irresistible Telesummit. And until our hearts meet again, always remember that you are loved. Goodbye for now.